You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We don't want penalties, but I've gone down this road before. Penalties are probably a bad predictor for win rate. I'd focus on quarterback rating, turnovers, and rushing margin. And we won all three of those. So I would say that the easy thing to say, because I've lived this world, is when I was first starting in Tennessee, I was the penalty Nazi.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about the Patriots' 12 penalties in yesterday's win over the Dolphins. Mike Vrabel joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday throughout the year, brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF, FDIC. And that surprised me, Fitzy, because I believe in the post-game show, Six Rings post-game show yesterday, WEEI, also available as a podcast on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, you asked me the first thing I thought Mike Vrabel would want to clean up, and I believe my answer was penalties. And
it was indeed.
Mike Vrabel just told the Greg Hill Show that he used to care about penalties, and then it seems that somebody, and this is Dan Ball's world, analytically brought to his attention that, hey, coach, have you ever looked at this, that the team that has the most penalties has a 50-50 chance of winning the football game? There's not a direct correlation between penalties and losing football. That answer, very few answers stun me, Fitzy. I've been in this business a long time, brag, and very few answers flat out stun me. When Mike Vrabel said he used to be the penalty Nazi and care about penalties more than he does now, that stunned me this morning on the Greg Hill Show.
Yeah, I would think that that would be the first thing that he would want to clean up following yesterday's win, which could have also turned into a loss were it not for some sloppy footwork from Miami's lead running back or just a million other things. And that also doesn't fit with the brand. I know in the initial speech it was, we're going to remove entitlement from the building. We're going to make you proud. We're going to earn the right to be here every day. Usually, Andy, aren't like penalty committers, mistake makers, and repeat offenders, and aren't those the people that don't usually earn the right to be in the building every day? Like, penalties are sloppy football. I know for a fact, I think it still applies, that committing a holding penalty reduces your chance of scoring a touchdown to somewhere between 20 to 25% on a drive.
See,
like, That's a mess.
And that's I don't know all the numbers. I'll believe you on that number. I'll believe Vrabel on his numbers. I'll just sort of take people at their word for their analytics.
Risky, but okay.
For me, it is. For me, it's just, we always, like when I look at teams from afar and they have a lot of penalties, I think they're not very disciplined. They're not necessarily well coached. They probably aren't going to win close football games. They're going to have to overcome those things. And he's basically telling me, no, penalties are kind of not really directly related to winning and losing. And I struggle with that mentality. And I believe him that he has the information. This seems like Stretch played a role in this, if I'm being honest. Feels like Stretch, John Stryker, probably played a role in this, explaining it to Mike.
Yeah, you and I go back and forth a lot. And I think I tend to walk more frequently on your side of the street on this. I'll bring up analytics and tell you certain numbers or certain theorems suggest X, Y, or Z in football. And I know you're not the biggest believer, and I know what you also think of the website poof.com as well. I guarantee you this is supported by some EPA War Plus WRC in Cincinnati idea that, like, oh, it's okay, you can commit penalties. It's just bad football. I refuse to, but this is one time where we are overthinking something in football by a half to a full measure and supporting it with some hooey-gooey, theoretical, analytical nonsense, when it should just tell you, if you go the other way, that's the wrong idea.
Yeah, well, except for yesterday when it may have actually helped them, because they were going to go for it on, I believe it was 4th-and-2 late in the game. They had a false start, becomes 4th-and-7, so they kick a long field goal. They put 3 points on the board. Then they give a game ball to
Andre Borogalis, as Courtney Cox would call him, and everybody's happy game and ball. Has confidence. Guy got a game ball. Do you know that? Guy got a game ball.
I know he did. That is a please don't miss again ball. That is not a game ball.
That was
a sign of confidence ball. That is not a game ball.
That was weird. But that's a case where it may have helped them. They extended the score. They win the football game. I don't know how that game turns out differently. If they go for it and get stopped, the Dolphins take over. They're only up 3 points. That game could go in a totally different direction. So maybe they benefited in a weird way from that penalty and kicking the field goal and everything that happened after that. But this whole idea that penalties are suddenly, like, you know, when I always say that the coaches have told us when they talk to the media, they're talking to the team. The players are hearing them. Mm-hmm. So is he telling the players that 12 penalties are okay because it's not really directly related to winning and losing?
Not a great precedent to set when you've got a three quarters new team.
Yeah. And
a lot, and I mean a lot of rookies and young guys.
Yeah, a lot of young guys, including guys that are having penalties, like Will Campbell and Jared Wilson and others. Like,
yeah. I thought we were done with lining up in the neutral zone. I thought we had kicked false starts to the curb like a bad habit.
If you also listened, he made some excuses. He didn't believe Will Campbell jumped offsides. He thinks that was a fictitious call, that he was just pointing out the rusher that was coming. He didn't believe that Chasen lined up offsides. He should have been warned. It was close. He did not care for the officiating that crew had. But it was interesting because as much as he poo-poos penalties and that they're not directly related to winning and losing, and he used to be the penalty Nazi, but he's not the penalty Nazi anymore here in New England, he was asked a question about Will Campbell's leadership in terms of it being presented in supporting Morgan Moses after his penalty. And at the end of this answer, he makes it sound like he cares about penalties.
With the penalties, Morgan Moses had said that Will Campbell came up to him after and said, you know, don't worry about it, it happens. I guess Morgan had said that to him last week on the sideline. Do you feel like Will Campbell's turning into the leader that you want him to?
I think that he shows up every single day, and I think he does his job, and he cares extremely about this football team. And so I think that that's starting to make him a leader. I think he is prepared. I think he executes for the most part in the game. He knows what to do. So I think that makes him a leader, and hopefully this trend of, you know, these linemen false starting and then patting each other on the back after the game can end. We only have three more linemen to go, so we're 40% of the way done here with, you know, it happens. Yeah, don't worry, it happened. You know, hopefully 3 more weeks we're done with this.
So I loved that answer. It was fun. It was a funny answer. Will, yep. You know, Morgan Moses tells Will Campbell, don't worry, it happens. Will Campbell tells Morgan Moses, don't worry, it happens. And Vrabel's like, can we stop telling each other it happens and maybe stop it from happening? But why do we need to stop it from happening if there's no direct correlation between penalties and winning and losing football games? And Fitzy, did I mishear something? Am I misunderstanding something? Because we get the text line, 608. You guys are being a bunch of dinks. That's not at all what he said, and the fact that you're doing this is a travesty. What did he say? Because I would love to be clarified. If I'm being a dink and he didn't say that penalties aren't that important, then what did he say? Because that's what I took.
Yeah, it's sort of a logical extrapolation of what he said at that point. And also he's been a coach for a long time, player for a long time, parent for a long time. Maybe while he's often one to employ a firm hand, maybe right here he's trying to kind of, you know, good cop it a little bit just for a while to ease any anxieties that his guys have, as opposed to just busting their ass and busting their chops over committing penalties when he's trying to teach them, you know, how to learn to win all over again and play good football.
Okay, maybe. Maybe he cares. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he'll, I don't know, walk it back come Wednesday and clarify his comments about the value of penalties.
He just said he wasn't going to do that anymore last week.
Well, he might need to, because I need clarification on whether penalties matter, or they're a good thing, they're a bad thing, or they connect to losing. 617-779-7937. Let's get some positivity. Joe and Melrose, what'd you think of this Patriots win, Joe?
Hey, guys. No, it was outstanding when I thought they were going to beat the Raiders. I thought they were going to lose to Miami. The fact that they won this game more than makes up for last week. It's a division win, too. I mean, Drake May looked outstanding. He looks like the franchise quarterback that he is. And Josh McDaniels looks great. The defense and special teams had uneven performances, but the offense was outstanding. I love the fact that all three running backs can catch a screen pass. That's going to really help slow down pass rush. Drake May made Matthew Judon look like an old man on that touchdown run. And, you know, I mean, I heard Rob Bradford chirping about Drake May. So, I mean, he's got to shut up now.
Oh, Joe.
Wow.
Wait, did Joe just get the homer horn?
Yeah. Did you listen to the call?
Yeah, I listened to the whole call. I didn't hear. Tell me where he lied. Tell me where there were mistruths.
It more than makes up for the loss against the Raiders?
Yeah.
This team is abysmal. They all hate each other. They want their coach fired, and they suck.
And they barely won.
The Dolphins, I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you meant the Patriots.
No,
their coach.
No. They're not much.
Look at the way he bait and switched. Did you fall for the ball, cheese?
Yeah, we'll just move on. We're going to devalue something the Patriots hadn't done in 5 years.
Which is?
Win in Miami.
Win in Miami.
Beat Tua, something they'd never done.
Miami has not been nearly this bad in the 5 years prior.
They've had ups and downs. They're probably not nearly this bad because they're going to get their coach fired.
Yeah, they've been a consistent playoff contender, unlike you.
They're super bad, yeah.
I'm not going to devalue this win because I think that's a tough place to play for every Patriots team that has ever existed dating back to like 1978.
I'm just saying that you were one Devon Achane toe nail away from losing this game and us having a completely different conversation than we've been having.
Yeah, but that's
I appreciate the optimism.
That's how NFL games go. They're all one score games. They're all one score games.
Yeah, let's give you for example, if I may, Andy, in a bonkers NFL week two, you know, the Indianapolis Colts, they're now the owner of the distinction, the first team ever to start the first 2 weeks and never punt, right? Well, that wouldn't have mattered squat if they finished 1-1, except for because of a new rule employed a couple of years ago, which was interpreted rather finely, where the defensive lineman touched the center after the snap on a field goal. The kicker got to re-kick a kick and beat the Broncos. The Broncos should be 2-0, but instead now everybody, you know, the Colts are the ones that are 2-0. Like, it's a lot of ticky-tack stuff sometimes is what gets you to win. The Colts learning how to win again. The Patriots finally learning how to win in Miami and against Tua. And overall, Dan, your points are well taken, but when you start, like, if it could be a bumpy first bicycle ride, but at least you didn't have to have any training wheels on, your dad holding the handlebars down the hill.
And your bike is in great condition, because your bike, what you're going to ride to success, is Drake May. And that's, I think, Dan, I would be more on your side if Drake May had had an uneven game, a touchdown, an interception, two fumbles, one lost. Like, if there was any of that, Drake May was phenomenal. The rest of the stuff that all you people told me is going to be good is what almost cost you, right? Tackling. Robert Spillane, your free agent middle linebacker who's going to have 175 tackles. He's a little bit on the Pop Douglas payment plan. He's going to pick up the pace if he's going to get to 175 tackles over the course of this season.
Andy, I know we're playing the who looks better than we expected and who actually needs to pick up the pace game. Did you see the stat that came out about the linebackers earlier today?
I don't know. What was it? Why don't you tell us?
I would be happy to share it with you and the audience at large right now. The linebacker that leads the NFL in missed tackles, Robert Spillane with 8. Guess who's nipping at his heels?
Probably Christian Ellis.
Christian Ellis with 6.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need numbers to tell me Robert Spillane has not played well. You watch these first two games, and maybe I was holding him to too high a standard. I haven't loved what I've seen from Robert Spillane throughout this first venture into New England. I didn't think he had a great camp.
What's going on?
I don't know. Maybe he's overrated. Maybe he's a guy. Great story. I love the work ethic, work your way up, the trials, the tribulations, finding your way into becoming a high-priced free agent linebacker. I love all of that. But I said to these guys, somebody has to make tackles. Like, every team has a guy that makes a lot of tackles. You had a guy for a couple of years in Bentley that made a lot of tackles.
Still unsigned, by the way.
I was going to say, what team's he on?
The 33rd team.
So he.
Oh, he plays at UNC.
That's a good line. So he went from basically being a team's leading tackler over multiple seasons and a captain to not finding a job. I just think the guy who lines up in the middle of a defense in the NFL, if he stays healthy for a full season, going to have a lot of tackles. Like, it's kind of just inherent with the job. There's a lot of run plays, crossers. You're going to pick up tackles. Robert Spillane, I thought, was going to go above and beyond Bentley and take you to a new level at middle linebacker, and he has not. If anything, it's been a disappointment. And it isn't just, oh, it's not fair, he can't keep up with Achane, he's too fast for him. He couldn't, and that was true, but he also had one where he tried to lay the lumber, just bounced off a guy. I don't remember if that was Achane or somebody else. It was somebody right in front of him, came up, tried to plow with a big shoulder, made contact, and the guy just said, yeah, but you're not big enough to knock me to the ground. I'm just going to keep running up the field, and you stay here on the ground after you fall down. He has been a disappointment in those missed tackles. Again, it's early in the year, so I do wonder if it's just a result of need more practice and reps and some of the things Marcus Jones told us earlier, but it's not great. Let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Randy in Providence. What's up, Randy?
Hey, how's it going, guys? What I called to ask about was exactly the linebackers and the penalties, the last two things you guys went over. Just to put numbers to it, I mean, the penalty is 10.5 a game for 72.5 yards. And over the past 5 years, it's been 5.4 a game for 45 yards. Oh. So, I mean, that's a significant difference that I can't imagine is a good result. And I honestly didn't believe Mike Vrabel when he talked this morning. I thought he very well could have told them one answer and then walked into the team meeting. The first thing he said was clean up these penalties. Because Morgan Moses with 3 false starts, with 25 yards of penalties on special teams, these are not good things. And I just didn't believe him.
Thanks for the call, Randy. So you heard what I heard, Randy. That's what I'm taking from that. You heard what I heard, that he was sort of diminishing the importance of penalties and cleaning up the penalties. You just choose to believe, for whatever reason, he said one thing to the media, and then when he gets in the team meeting room, he's going to give them the riot act and lay down the law and tell them they need to clean up the penalties. Because to me, that's like coaching 101. Every coach that I've ever, nice coach, bad coach, Pete Carroll, good coach, Gerard Mayo, Bill Belichick, they all care about penalties. And if Randy's numbers are right, you're telling me on average the Patriots are more than double the number of penalties they've had as a football team over the last 5 years? And we know they haven't really been a good football team over the last 5 years.
No, there's not a single coach in football America that would be preaching that penalties are okay so long as you're giving it your all and the final score benefits you as opposed to your opponent on a weekly basis. It flies in the face of basically all football reason, rationale, and logic that we've been taught from zero to today.
Time now for our league leaders and Who's Circling the Drains, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Fitzy, did you know that the Patriots lead the league in sacks, including those two key sacks late in the game from Harold Landry and Milton Williams? I didn't think the pass rush was great, but with the game on the line, they got it done there. So that's good, right?
7 sacks over 2 games, that's pretty solid, better than league average.
Did you know they also lead the league in passing yards allowed, I believe? That is not great. That is circling the drains kind of defense in the back end. And I also don't really know. That's kind of hard to do, to have your front lead the league in sacks and you still lead the league in yards allowed, although that could also imply that, boy, your team's throwing the football on you a lot. They're just kind of dropping back a lot and trying to sling it all over you.
Yeah, when Alex Austin gives up on 5 targets, 4 catches for 83 yards and a touchdown, you could use a little Gonzo. You could add that to the mix.
So, you could use a little Gonzo. And according to Mike Vrabel, and we're going to touch on this next here on WEEI Afternoons, Gonzo has a chance to be back this week, unless he doesn't have a chance to be back because the coach said chance and then tried to unsay chance. We're going to talk about that confusing mess next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, a guy who's never confusing, it's never a mess, it's Dan Ball with What's Trending.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, where Stiz is going to clear something up for me, because Nick Fitzy Stevens, someone on the text line just called me a drip, and I don't think it's a nice thing based on the tone of the rest of the text. What is a drip, Stiz?
You know what's funny? I don't know the etymology of like where that came from, but it's definitely like loser.
Drip? Yeah. No, drip is somebody, yeah, that like rains on a parade. Drip is somebody who has like no swag about them. Like, yeah, it's kind of like, I would say, dink adjacent. If you have drip, obviously
that's
that means
good.
You're fashion savvy.
Right.
Yeah,
good.
That's
what,
a good outfit. Well, yeah, that would
so
be
I
good.
Neither have drip, nor, but I am a drip. So
yes.
That's I'm in the worst end of the whole use That's of the word bad. Drip.
Kids these days, am I right?
Yeah, no kidding. Plus, they're just bullies on the text line. Jeez, I don't even know what I said.
I know. You try to give people a reasonable 4 hours of engagement, infotainment, and finalysis, and between the text line, the Twitch, and everything else, boy, everyone's coming out guns a-blazing. Sorry, what's going to happen if the Pats lose again? God, this is on a victory Monday.
While we're on the text line, we might as well get into that, Fitzy. 617-779-7937 if you want to text and bully Fitzy and Hart here on WEEI Afternoons. Earlier, we were criticized for last week you were being critical after they lost. Now they win a game and you're praising them? Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Kind of like we're not acknowledging, you know, we're not saying it was the perfect game. In fact, we've acknowledged it may have been an entertaining game between two bad football teams, but they did win the game. That was good. They went to Miami, something they hadn't done in 6 years. They won that game in Miami. Like, that's a good thing. Why am I not allowed to say it's a good thing when they win? What is wrong with people out there?
This is coming from you. This is not AI Hart. This is actual Andy Hart who's saying, I understand that there were warts, bumps, and miscues along the way, but I'm very happy they won, and I think it's a good thing. Look, I put up that foolish poll a couple hours ago about, you know, and more people say that it was it was Pats found a way to win, Finns found a way to lose, or both. More people are voting that Miami found a way to lose the damn game.
What was the most impressive aspect of this football game for either team? The thing that you would point to, you watched full 60 minutes of football with 100 and whatever players. What was the most impressive thing you saw on the football field?
The smartass says Mike Vrabel's stride down the field with Antonio Gibson, but that's just for memes and lols. The most impressive thing by far, the effectiveness and efficiency and execution of Drake May.
Okay. So, like, why can't we acknowledge that? Even if it was wrapped up in a game that had some ugliness to it, some inefficiencies, some penalties, some poor attack. Like, in the end, around here more than anywhere else, people should understand that. If you win, that's all that matters, right? Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, if it's a field goal in the snow in the most controversial penalty call in the history of the sport, you won. Winners write history. Winners have a dynasty. You know, there are a bunch of field goals in the Super Bowl. People could say, if it wasn't for that Vinatieri field goal, you wouldn't have had any Super Bowl rings, Ted Johnson. That is true. Guess what? Mm-hmm. He hit the field goals. You won by 3 points. You have the Super Bowl rings. The scoreboard isn't the only thing, but it's really important, and it generally decides how we look at history. We talk about the Patriots in 07. Greatest team in football history, maybe, right? Not even in consideration. Why? Lost the Super Bowl to the Giants. The results of the game are really important. And I don't know why I'm ranting so much about a couple texters that were bullying me earlier on the text line, but it is what it is. So we need to get back to this Mike Vrabel situation with Christian Gonzalez.
Uh-huh.
So first, we had Mike Vrabel on the Greg Hill Show this morning. Good mood, having fun, laughing, joking, coming off his first victory, sizing up Courtney Cox's wedding ring, all of that. And then he was asked by Courtney Cox if we're going to have a chance to see Christian Gonzalez this week. And this was Mike Vrabel's answer.
Christian Gonzalez continues to improve. Is there a chance that we could see him?
Well, there's a chance.
I just asked questions
too.
A few moments later.
Mike, on the radio this morning, you said there was a chance that we would see Christian Gonzalez and perhaps he would play. Can you quantify that? Is there a slim chance?
I don't know if I said that there was a chance. Yeah, the chance, right?
Well, there's the chance.
Is it a slim chance?
That's a chance. I mean, it's a chance that a lot of things could happen.
There's a chance I get hit by a bus when I walk out the studio doors. Yes, there's. He said that was not AI. That was Mike Vrabel's voice live with Greg Hill and company in studio.
Well, there's the chance.
I heard you, Mike. You said there's a chance. And then when KG asked you, you were like, I don't know if I said there's a chance. Is your memory that bad? I mean, it was only a few moments later.
I don't know if I said that there was a chance. Yeah, the chance, right?
5 hours, I believe. Approximately 5 hour difference between those two comments.
Two freaking Mondays, two walkbacks already? What are we doing, Vrabes?
And he already made the excuse that it's a radio program early in the morning, 6:30. Last week, he said after a loss. So it's also apparently dangerous after a win, because we're going to take you at your word, coach. When you say there's a chance, we're going to think there is a chance.
Opportunity?
Okay. So since the coach isn't clearing this up for us, he's actually muddying the waters here.
Uh-huh.
After we talked to Mike Giardi on Friday, he said there was a setback. At some point in time, there was a setback. That is clear.
Yes.
Do we think there's a chance that Christian Gonzalez is coming back? And you reserve the right to change your mind because the head coach did. So.
If I had to bet right now.
Would you bet he plays or no?
No.
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 So we're starting to get into roster mismanagement territory because shouldn't he be on IR with designation to return if he's going to miss, I don't know, a month of football, four games, right? Like, so you're kind of not using a roster spot. It's very weird to me whether there was a setback, not a setback. Now the coach, he also in there said something to the effect of I ask or I'll ask. So is that just, is that just the medical team he's asking? Is that, hey, Christian,
you
is there
a... to Gonzo's hand? Does he have handlers?
Oh, I'm sure he has handlers. I'm sure. I'm absolutely an all-pro cornerback sniffing down a $140 million contract in the next 6 months or so. I'm sure he has handlers. But is that part of the problem? Does he have to show up at Christian Gonzalez? Hey, do you think maybe there's a chance you could practice this week and rejoin the football team that could really use you? Like, this is getting weirder by the minute. Can we agree that this is weird?
Oh, this is super weird. This is ultra, it's getting into cringe territory now because the fact that the head coach and the football team don't seem to have a firm diagnosis or handle on what's going on with their best defensive player is odd. I guess it's more than just fairly odd pants. This is flat out strange at this point.
And my worst case scenario, my long memory, is the whole Terry Glenn situation when he and Bill Belichick went back and forth in 2001 over whether he did or did not have a hamstring injury. Remember that? I did have a hamstring injury. He spelled it out on Sports Final for Bob Lobel back in the day. And this cost people jobs. This turned into a grievance with Terry Glenn back in the day over his hamstring. I don't think we're going down that road. I just don't know what road we're going down. The only road that doesn't seem like we're going down is Christian Gonzalez on the field having
the
a great
season. The road to return,
yeah.
The one that he should be traveling.
The road to perfection, the road to... I don't know anything about the other 10 players, but the Patriots have an all-pro cornerback that they're going to line up out there. I don't know that anymore. I have no idea what you're going to get when Christian Gonzalez gets out there. Because I will tell you this, I watched the game on Sunday, and I generally report what I see, and what I saw was that pass defense could use him. That pass defense is struggling a little bit. There were deep plays made, X plays being made that I would think and hope Christian Gonzalez could help prevent, although I have no idea because I don't know what state of health he's in right now. For all I know, he's limping around out there.
And if he does come back on Sunday, what percentage Gonzo are we going to get and how much of the game can he play? Would you get full tilt, all clear Gonzo? Would you get
better be
limited snaps Gonzo?
No. Wait. We're coming up on 8 weeks here, I believe, if I'm doing the math right. We are coming up on 8 weeks,
I believe tomorrow marks 7.
Yeah, so... Shouldn't he be 100%? Like, we're going to go 2 months and still not get him at 100%?
Hasn't even practiced yet. Like, you can practice all week, return in a limited capacity, but still get ruled out, out of prudence and an abundance of caution. So there's a chance he could return to practice this week and everything's good. Wine and roses and Pat's Nation again. And then, yeah, we just felt like he wasn't quite there yet, and so we didn't want to press it.
And we haven't even gotten one of those weird, manipulative, the guy gets on the field on a Friday to kind of start the process, which is very common in the NFL. Late in the week, they're kind of doing a slow practice, a walkthrough, so you get the guy back out there just to kind of be back in the mix. Then the following week, maybe he's out there on Wednesday, limited, and you're working towards an actual return. We haven't even gotten that. We've gotten nothing out of Christian Gonzalez. Nothing. And mom and dad are mad. Nothing for Christmas. It ain't Christian Gonzalez that we're getting on the practice field. It just, I don't know. And the more they talk about it, that would be the other thing. If you would put him on IR, he's out of sight, out of mind. It's a finite period. There's no questions. When are we going to see him practice? When's he going to get back out there?
We're only talking about people on our football team.
Correct. Because you open it up to the questions, then you open it up to the analysis of the questions. And then when the head coach says chance in one interview and doesn't want to say chance in the next interview, you just have this, I'm going to say it again, Mayo-like confusion. Yes, that would be Gerard Mayo-like confusion. Walk it back Wednesday feels like it's coming for Mike Vrabel when he's asked again if Christian Gonzalez will be on the practice field later that day, right?
By the way, you mentioned Mayo, and that is exactly the strange nebula we find ourselves in right now. This nebula of non-information or a void of reporting on Gonzo. However, I do feel like I need to ask, Andy, were you either relieved or did you experience any human emotions when you saw Jerod Mayo come out of coaching protection program Saturday at Old Rocky Top?
I was just, I didn't really care. It was kind of weird. It kind of felt sad to me. It was like, well, I don't have a home in New England anymore, so I need to go back to my previous home, which is Tennessee, and they'll cheer for me, and I'm still an all-time great at Tennessee. I've done nothing to tarnish my legacy or image at Tennessee. So yeah, I kind of felt sad and bad for Jerod Mayo. And then I remembered he's probably got like $100 million in the bank, and I felt less sad and less bad for Jerod Mayo. That was my take on that. But I did see it, Jerod Mayo,
yeah,
volunteering down in Tennessee as he is a great alumni there.
See what you did there.
See what I did there. 617-779-7937. The Patriots got a victory. Are we being too reactionary, too positive? I'm accused of that all the time. Way too positive about the Patriots, Boston sports in general. This is just the latest, greatest example. Drake May has a great game, and I choose to acknowledge it. And the text line says I'm a drip, whatever the hell that means. We'll talk more about the Patriots, that victory, up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game, honestly. And that is how you lose the game. You're moving the ball down the field. You're first and 10, and then you find yourself at second and 20. That was critical.
You mean to tell me Bill can't do better than that? McDaniels talks about winning. Belichick just does it.
That was Stiz, who's feeling himself a little bit after a very good three-point stance earlier in the day, where he believes Bill Belichick could and should be an option for the Miami Dolphins. He can chase Don Shula's wins record right in Miami, overtake the man who called him Belichick in his own uniform.
Oh, I forgot about that angle.
Oh, the story writes itself.
We were
itself.
Talking about a return
theta.
To glory.
Oh, theta is there, Fitzgerald.
Oh, Stiz, now we have to, like, this is the only way it could possibly be for him to do it in a Dolphins uniform, get one game up on Shula, and then literally drop the headset.
Well, whoever sent us, we tweeted out my three-point stance, and someone made an AI photo of Bill in a Dolphins shirt. Looks pretty good.
Except for his eyes. His eyes look like they were transposed and weird.
AI. Still not perfect.
Yeah. Can we get back to this, though? So one of a number of criticisms we've had in analyzing this Patriots win is you beat the Dolphins. They stink. They're beating themselves. They hate their coach. They had a players-only meeting. I will say, when you listen to that audio of the leader of men, that's what that guy is. He's a leader of men. It does kind of devalue your victory.
To win games, you have to win the game.
That's a good point, Mike. Did you bring that up with your team pregame? Maybe that would have helped instead of saving that gem for postgame. Probably should have brought that to their attention. I don't know, Wednesday, when you get them all hyped up for a work week, or even just pregame on a Sunday morning. He's toast. I feel bad for him. He's in so far over his head at this point, and he's a man in quicksand. He doesn't know how to salvage the season. And I know they're not a super talented roster. I heard Jones and Keefe on Friday, they were doing, you know, which player on the Dolphins would you want on the Patriots? And you look at it and you're like, there's not a lot of guys I'm in love with. There's not a lot of, like, wow. I mean, Bradley Chubb, one of their pass rushers, maybe.
Jalen Phillips.
The Savant Nyanana kid that they wanted at guard, maybe, you know, like one of those young players.
You wouldn't take Achane?
I probably would, but that's a position of strength for the Patriots. Is he that much better than what you have as a backfield? There's just no obvious, oh my God, kind of answer for them. Whereas, like, the Raiders a week before, Bowers, Max Crosby. There's a couple guys that just, Ashton Jeanty, if you wanted to, but like there's two or three guys that just jump off the depth chart. Mm. I'm not sure they jump off the depth chart, and that tells you how lacking in talent that Dolphins roster is. That being said, at home, that roster should have had a better chance to beat the Patriots. I do think to some degree they beat themselves. They made a lot of mistakes. They did what Vrabel has been preaching all year long. One of the first things he said, be able to take advantage of other teams' bad football. The Patriots did that. They took advantage of bad football. They won the game. So when you actually do something that your coach has been preaching for, I don't know, 9 months now, I'm going to give you credit for that. Even if on the other side of the field, the shady side of the field, the cooler side of the field, was a football team and a football coach who right now are dead men walking. And that's exactly what Mike McDaniel is. I don't see any way they salvage this, whether it's Friday, whether it's 3 weeks from now. He's not making it through the season. He can't possibly make it through the season.
I would hazard a guess that, and you could just hear the resignation and defeat in his voice in that clip, as you would in many other clips right now. And no, he's not being glib. He's not doing his open mic McDaniel, if you will. Like, he knows he's toast, and this dream is coming to an end, and it's coming to an end rapidly. And I believe Daniel Ball, in our WEI Afternoons preseason NFL 2025 predictions, I had him as first coach fired. I'm not sure if anybody else did as well, but I imagine I was not alone on that particular take island.
No, he was up there in the odds. It was him, Daboll. There were a couple favorites.
I think a couple of us did, but I'll even go a step further. After the Bills absolutely mopped the field of Highmark Stadium with them on Thursday night, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that is the most likely landing spot. When you have a Thursday night game, when you're going to be 0-3, when you're going to get embarrassed at home and then embarrassed on the road, the classic, do they even let him get back on the plane and fly back to Miami with them? He probably doesn't want to. If you asked him right now, like, you choose to just, we'll just, mutual parting of ways, blah, 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 crap, I think he would take it. I think he would take the out and say, you're going to keep paying me, right? Whatever's left on my contract, you'll keep paying me, and I'll just walk away and not have to deal with this absolute dumpster fire of a football team that hates me anymore. I think he would take it. I don't think he wants, they don't want him to be his coach. Well, guess what? Joke's on you. I don't think he wants to be your coach anymore, Miami. And that is who the Patriots beat. But I don't think that totally devalues. There's a lot of dumpster fires in the NFL from week to week, right? You still have to show up and make some plays. And I'll go back to the thing that I asked you earlier, Fitzy. What was the most impressive thing on the field in this game? And it's Drake May. And the fact that you can say that, you can say Drake May was the most impressive thing, and now all these numbers after 2 weeks are looking pretty good. Oh, and not to jinx it, but Drake May is healthy, and a lot of quarterbacks across the NFL can't say that right now. They're kind of dropping like flies all across the league to the point where you're going to start to see backup versus backup in some Sunday and nighttime matchups.
Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Joe Burrow. There's at least 10% of your starters out for week three, just week three.
So you have a young, healthy quarterback who, based on this season alone, is ascending and is learning his relationship with his offensive coordinator. So I choose to, and I know, you know, I'm usually the cynical one, whatever people like. I choose to be optimistic coming out of this game. Could it all fall apart? Could T.J. Watt absolutely kill your offensive line and any momentum they had? Could he kill Drake May? Absolutely. Could you be giving up big plays to Aaron Rodgers and all of a sudden the defense is a massive problem? That absolutely could happen. But we can save that reaction for next Patriots Monday.
Correct.
When it actually happened, instead of
if
projecting
it actually happens
and expecting it. Right.
Yeah,
for
let's
now,
not put a definitive on it. Like, it's not a matter of when. It could potentially be an if, Andy. And I know we usually save the what-ifs on this particular radio station for Wednesday, but let's just say Devon Achane doesn't step out of bounds and the Dolphins make the extra point and take home the 34-33 when Drake is not able to execute a last-minute drive to pull off the 36-34 win. Or maybe he drives him down and then Borregales misses the 50-yarder to get the win at the buzzer. Where are we with how we feel about the Patriots? I still think we feel great about Drake, which is priority one for the development of this team.
Yeah.
Where are we with the rest of it all?
Yeah, we're much more critical. We're talking about a game that you couldn't beat a team that wasn't even really trying to win, right? We're kind of back to the season finale a year ago, right, where you accidentally beat a team that wasn't really trying to win. This would be a time where you couldn't beat a team that wasn't trying to win. They pulled it out. You lost it more than they won it, all of that crap. But it didn't happen, Fitzy. They won the football game. They scored more points. Their quarterback was better. Their coach was better. Everything else was at least equal to their ineptitude. And in the end, your coach and your quarterback got you the victory. 617-779-7937. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for The Drive. And in The Drive today, we're going to hear from the quarterback of the New England Patriots. Drake May spoke with us earlier on a Patriots Monday. We'll get back to Drake May and everything he had to say after the best game of his career here on The Drive, WEEI Afternoons.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.